Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Kyle is not with me today. We were supposed to get together and something came up at the last minute. So I'll probably do a couple podcasts by myself again today. And then hopefully later on in the week, I can meet up with him. But today we're going to continue on prayer. And for the episode today, we're going to do the third episode on prayer. And we're going to talk about what God has to say with why prayers are not answered. Previously, we already talked about, you know, the most important thing that we need to be praying for, and that's, to receive the Holy Spirit. It's what God tells us that we need, as he communicated by his son Jesus when the disciples asked him how to pray in Luke chapter 11. It's not being taught. Then we went in and looked at, God tells us to ask and that we are to receive, but there's conditions. And we went through and looked at those. And it really gets down to how do we live our life? Do we even receive the Holy Spirit of God to then live a life where we abide in the Spirit and we keep the commandments, as Jesus says, keep my commandments and ask what you want and you'll receive it. And a lot of people don't understand those conditions. And we went through and went through a lot of the Word of God that discusses that. Now we're going to look at why are people's prayers not answered and look at more examples of that in Scripture. So with that, let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you today, O God, that you've extended to every person, O God, a blessing of salvation, a blessing of the new man, the new creation, that we can abide in holiness and have fellowship with you and with the Son, that we can be one with you just as Christ is. But Father, that requires us to come into humility, to come to you and ask for an impossible work, to believe in faith, being willing to deny self in the world, and to come to you and let you do an impossible work in our life. Father, I pray today as we look at your word and your scripture, that we'll gain a deeper understanding of why is it that some people's prayers are not answered. We're going to find out it gets back to the heart. There's many people who pray to you, O God, and they don't have a new heart. They don't have the new spirit. They cannot walk in your ways even though they want to. They still have to confess their sins every night because they haven't been set freed. Just as Jesus said, the one who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not get to remain in the house forever. In John chapter 8. Father, I pray that you'll bless this time. Let your word go forth and convict and go deep down into the hearts of man. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so starting off, I want to look at 1 Peter. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, God tells us something in his word. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, what's the context here? I mean, obviously, if you just look at this verse here, it's like, all right, well, God's eyes are toward the righteous. What does that mean? Who's considered righteous? And his ears will listen to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, it's interesting. When you go and you look at the do evil, that's the same words that's used discussing the man in Romans chapter 7, the man who has a war of the flesh waging in his members. He continues to do the evil that he doesn't want to do. Well, the face of the Lord is against that person. And even that person, as Paul's doing this monologue, says that person's wretched and condemned. But we did a whole episode on that in Overcoming Sin, the War of the Flesh. And you can go listen to that and get a more in-depth understanding. But here, in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you back up and start in verse 8, it talks about who's to receive a blessing. You see, God wants to bless us. And in the end, those that are blessed, well, they're called righteous, and God listens to their prayer. But if they aren't, they still do evil and they cannot overcome. Well, God's face is against them. You see, in verse 8, he says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil. We aren't to return insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Verse 10, the one who desires to love life and to see good days, imperative command, he must keep his tongue from evil and he must keep his lips from deceit. Are you who are listening, are you able to do that? It's kind of like James chapter 1, verse 26. The man who thinks himself to be religious but cannot bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. The deception is in his heart. Goes on to say that that man's religion is worthless. As you keep reading, in verse 11, he says, imperative command, he must turn away from evil and he must do good. Well, if you can't stop doing evil or sin, well, then that's another problem. How are you supposed to inherit the blessing? He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, this passage, this whole, you know, short snippet about who are those that are going to be blessed of God, that this comes from Psalms. And we'll go look at that. But Peter has so much more to say about who are those and what purpose, you know, who are those that are in the grace of God and what purpose we've been called for. And we did an episode on this. We just did an episode recently on the suffering of God. God explains suffering. It all comes down to, are you in the grace of God, the true grace of God? You're going to suffer just as Christ did, but yet also live as he did. Commit no sin, have no deceit in your mouth, not reviling, charging people with insults when you suffer. No, but you're going to, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, you're going to die to sin so that you can now live to righteousness. That's why Jesus died for you. You're going to cease from sin and live the rest of the time no longer in the flesh for the lusts of men, but now for the will of God, as it says in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But we did a lot more discussion on that, on the true grace of God, suffering. We also did an episode just on 1 Peter. You can go listen to all those and find more. But for now, let's go back to the Old Testament and look more where this came from in Psalm chapter 34. So in Psalm chapter 34, starting in verse 7, he says, the angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Yes, he is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. So what does it mean to fear God? What does that mean? You may have an idea in your mind, but let's keep reading and let's see what God says. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek Yahweh shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. So you want to understand the fear of Yahweh? You want to understand those who are going to be blessed, those who are not going to have any want, those who can take refuge, and those who God will rescue them? Well, is this your understanding of the fear of Yahweh? Who is the man who desires life and the love of days, that he may see good? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil, and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Verse 14, depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15, for the eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. But the face of Yahweh is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Was that your understanding of the fear of the Lord? You see, that's the man that's blessed. If we haven't come into that, if we don't understand that, if we haven't become that new man that's able to do those things by the power of God through faith, well, there's a high likelihood that your prayers are not going to be answered. Matter of fact, God's face is probably against you. We're going to find out more about this as we keep looking at Scripture and examples. First, I want to cover a couple Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 7 through verse 9, says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the heart of fools, not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but he loves the one who pursues righteousness. So when you look at your life, you know, we just, this wicked here, the wicked he's talking about, this is wicked in the eyes of God. You see, they're still doing sacrifices to God. They think they're serving God, but in the eyes of God, they're an abomination. You see, God delights in the prayer of the one who is upright. But if you still have wickedness, well, you're an abomination to God. God loves the one who pursues righteousness. What would God say if he examined your life? The holy, righteous God examining your life. What would he say? What would he see? Continuing, still in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28-29, says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Again, reiterating the same theme. The question is, are we righteous, or do we still have wickedness? What's in our heart? In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 through verse 10, it says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good." Well, which one are you? You see, God wants us to listen to his law. Not just listen to his law, he wants us to be doers of the law, not by works, but by faith. Do we receive the righteousness that comes through faith? The Spirit of God that does an impossible work in our heart to cleanse us from all sin, that then teach us and have the ways and the laws of God written on our hearts so that we then do them, keep them, so that we practice righteousness and do justice? You see, that's what God says. That's what it means to know him. But if we can't do that, or if you don't even agree with that, a lot of people say, "Oh, no, the law doesn't apply to me." Well, we did a study on that, an episode. The old commandment, or the new commandment, is the old commandment, and we're to be doers of the law. Go listen to that and let God's word instruct you. Because until the law is written in your heart, your prayer to God is an abomination. Many people today think they serve God, but the problem is they continue to lead people in an evil way. They cannot turn people's hands from committing sin because they're giving them a message that has no power. And God speaks about the false teachers, and the false leaders who are lying to their congregations. And we'll cover that coming up here too. Next, I want to now turn and look at Isaiah. Let's look at a people, a chosen people of God. And God speaks to them through his servant and prophet, Isaiah. Now, again, the backdrop here is, God is speaking to what he refers to in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, to sons that he has reared and brought up. But the problem, he says, these sons have revolted against him. In verse 4, he says, "They're a sinful nation. They still do iniquity. They're offsprings of evildoer. In the eyes of God, they're sons that act corruptly." God says they've abandoned him. But yet, when you read about their conduct, it's like, well, it doesn't look like they've abandoned him. As you keep reading in verse 14, they're coming before God. They're doing sacrifices and offerings. But God says in verse 14, "I hate your new moon festivals, and I hate your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of Yahweh has spoken." Now, in this case, you have a people who's going to serve and offer sacrifices to God. Yet God says he hates their gatherings. God says, even when these people pray to him, because they pray to God, people, if you're praying to God, it's because you believe in him. It's because you think he can answer your prayers. But yet God says he's not going to listen to their prayers. He's going to hide his eyes from them. The problem is they haven't been made clean. They haven't removed the evil of their deeds. They haven't stopped sinning. Their sins have not been made white as snow. They haven't been cleansed. You see, if you haven't truly come to God and you haven't come in the faith that God requires to get the new heart and the new spirit so that you can do those things as God requires, and you think you have, and you're coming before him thinking that you're going to worship him and serve him, well, God's face is against you. You're praying the wrong prayer. You need to listen to the episode that we did on the first prayer, because you have to still receive the Holy Spirit of God, and you have to come in humility. If not, you're in trouble. Let's continue to look at this people who thinks that they serve God. We've covered this. We covered it in the God Disciplines His Son. You know, Scripture is profitable for discipline. We talked about the struggling son, and we went through this example about how God deals with a son. That's very insightful as well. A lot of people think that the discipline of God, that's normal. No, it's not normal. It's to bring you into obedience of sonship so that you are no longer an illegitimate son. But if you continue to be on the crooked ways and continue to be subject to the discipline of God, at a certain point he destroys you, like what he does here in Isaiah as you keep reading the story. But let's go. I want to highlight some things still in Isaiah of why God's against these people and why he won't listen to their prayers. You see, in Isaiah chapter 59... he says, and this is verse 1 and 2, he says, "Behold, Yahweh's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, or your sin, they've made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear you." You see, if you cannot overcome your sin, if you haven't received the free gift of God through faith and you don't know what it is, well, then you're going to continue to have a separation between you and God. You can pray to him all you want, but you're praying the wrong prayer. You still need to pray the prayer of repentance so that God can cleanse you. You have to have faith in God doing the impossible work of God. And you might be thinking, yeah, but you don't understand. I do have a fellowship with God. I delight in God. I read my Bible. I fast. I pray. I'm a person that does do righteousness. Well, you know, God addressed the people because they thought that too. And the chapter before, in chapter 58, God says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their sins. They seek to know me day by day, but the people say, oh, but yet they seek to know me, or they seek me day by day. They delight to know my ways." And this is in verse 2. "As a nation that has done righteousness," they think that they do righteousness. "As a nation that has not forsaken the ordinance of their God," they'd take offense if you said, "Oh, you've forsaken God." They'd say, "No, we have not. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God." Is that you? "Why have we fasted and you do not see?" As they're crying out to God. "Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice?" Well, God tells them, they still have sin in their life. They don't understand, as he continues here in chapter 59 to tell them. But the people, again, they're stubborn people. They still don't understand. As you keep looking, and I turn over to chapter 63, looking at verse 8 through 11, listen to what God says about them in chapter 63, verse 8. "For he said, surely they are my people, their sons. They won't deal falsely. So he, being God, became their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he, God, redeemed them. He lifted them and carried them all the days of old." But there was a problem. Verse 10. "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, God turned himself to become their enemy. God fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in their midst?" You see, when God afflicts them, oh, then they start to remember. But we covered this in Psalms earlier in one of the episodes, where they pretend obedience to God and they quickly go back to their sin. They're like the guy blowing in the wind can never make his path straight. As you continue to read in verse 15, these people crying out to God, "Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. Where's your zeal and your mighty deeds? The stirring of your heart and your compassion are restrained towards me." They're crying out to God, like, "God, where's your compassion towards me?" Verse 16, "You are our father. Though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us, but you, O Yahweh, you are our Father. You are our Redeemer. From on old is your name." So they're crying out, they're acknowledging that God is their Father. Verse 17, "Why, O Yahweh, do you cause us to stray from your ways? Why do you harden our heart from fearing you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage." So again, he's crying out to them, you know, appealing to God to, you know, why are we straying? Now, you'd be like, oh, well, this is the people that they want to serve God. They are seeking him. You know, they just have a sin problem. Everybody has a sin problem. Well, that's not what God doesn't agree with that. As you keep reading in chapter 64, verse 4, they say, "From on old they have not heard, nor have they perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides you, a God who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, the one who remembers you in your ways. Behold, you," referring to God, "you were angry, for we sinned." They're acknowledging their sin before God. They're acknowledging that God meets only the one who does righteousness, the one who waits for him. They said, "Behold," in verse 5, "you were angry, for we sinned. We continued in them a long time. And shall we be saved?" Verse 6, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." You see, the people are acknowledging, they're confessing. They haven't been doing righteousness. They haven't been waiting on God. They've been living in sin. They can't escape it. Shall we be saved? Of course not. They're acknowledging all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. That's how you are when you're still an enemy of God. You're still that person. You still quote those verses as justifying that you still have sin. Well, then you don't understand the word of God. You're taking it out of context. All of us wither like a leaf. Our iniquities take us away like wind. As you keep reading in verse 7, "There is no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us." See, now he says, God's hidden his face from them. "You have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. But now, O Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Yahweh. Don't remember our iniquity forever. Behold now, look on all of us who are your people." So now the people are appealing to God's mercy. It appears that they're coming in repentance. It appears that they're saying, "Oh, but God, you're the potter. We're the clay. We're willing to let you shape us." But there was a problem with his people. God called to them so many times. He wanted them to cry out and pray to them in humility, but they didn't. They rebelled, they rebelled, they rebelled. Now when God takes their life, now when they're on the thrones of their deathbed, when God is sending them to their death, you know what God's response is to this prayer? You think, oh, surely God's going to answer them. You know, they acknowledge that their righteous deeds are as a filthy garment. They're acknowledging their sin. Surely, surely God will heed their prayer. Well, we don't have to speculate. God answers them. In chapter 65, he answers them. Verse 1 through 3, "I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am,' to a nation which did not call on my name. I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good. They follow their thoughts, a people who continually provoke me to my face." You see, this is what God says about them. That's God's response. Because he continued to call and they wouldn't listen. As you keep looking on in chapter 65, verse 11 through 15, It says, but you who forsake Yahweh, you who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune, all of you who fill cups, mix wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter. Now, why would God do such a terrible thing to these people? He's going to tell us. Because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. You did evil in my sight. You continue to choose that which I did not delight. Therefore, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. My servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. My servants shall shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you shall cry with a heavy heart, and you shall wail with a broken spirit. And you will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and Lord Yahweh will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name. You see, this is how God responds to a people when he calls and calls and calls, but they think they're already holy. And then finally, when they realize that they're wrong, there's no more place to be found for repentance. Just like Esau in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, even though he sought it with tears, there is no more place for him to inherit the blessing. We must learn from these examples. We must not be the people whose God's prayer, our prayers, won't be answered, that God's face is against us. In chapter 66, verse 4 through 5, this is what God says about these people. I will choose their punishments. I will bring on them what they dread. Because I called and no one answered, I spoke, but they did not listen. They did evil in my sight. They continue to choose that which I did not delight. So hear the word of Yahweh, you who tremble at his word, you, your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake. They've said, oh, but let God be glorified that we may see your joy. God says they will be put to shame. They will be put to shame. He then goes on to say he will render recompense to his enemies because that's how he sees them. Is that who we want to be? No. Another example. Let's turn to Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5 through 14, another people that God, again, he's not going to listen to their prayers, but he's going to tell us why. Let's learn from this example. In chapter 7, verse 5, it says, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in these fifth and seventh months, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? When you eat and drink, do you not eat and drink for yourself? Are not these the words which Yahweh proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous along with its cities around it, and the Negev and the foothills were inhabited? Then the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, thus Yahweh of hosts has said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But these people refused to pay attention. They turned a stubborn shoulder. They stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint, so that they could not hear the law, and they could not hear the words which Yahweh of hosts has sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, a great wrath has come from Yahweh of hosts. And it came about that just as God called and they would not listen, so when they called, God said, I will not listen, says Yahweh of hosts. But I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolate behind them, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate. You see, God wants to bless people. He wants to bless all of us. The problem is we need a new heart and a new spirit. We must be able to come into the obedience of God's ways. If not, if you don't listen to the words of God, Well, at a certain point, he's no longer going to listen to you. Time is short. Don't be foolish and don't be stubborn if you haven't received a new heart and new spirit. Don't be holding on to falsehood thinking that you have peace with God. God warns about those people who lie to their congregations, telling them they have peace with God when there is no peace. Because the people cannot turn from their sin. They're still slaves of it. Let's go look at an example of Jeremiah, where again, a people of God that God wanted to bless, but now he will no longer answer their prayers or listen to them. In Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all you Judah, who enter by these gates to worship Yahweh." So who is God sending Jeremiah to speak to? Did you catch that? Well, he's sending him to speak to all the people of Judah who are coming through the gates for the purpose of doing what? To worship God. So God wants Jeremiah to share a message with these people. Now think about all the churches across America. Today it's Sunday. And across the world. There's a lot of people who go on Sundays to worship God. I know Israel, their Sabbath was a Saturday, but a lot of people, they go and they go to worship on Sunday. They go into what they call the house of the Lord to worship wherever their place of worship is. Well, you know what God has to say to a lot of these people who think they're going in to worship him? Let me tell you what he has to say. In verse 3, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. For if," see the conditional if "you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien or the widow, if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not walk after other gods to your ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place in the land that I have given your forefathers or your fathers forever and ever." Now, some people might be thinking, yeah, but I don't follow after other gods. I'm not shedding blood. Well, in whose eyes? In your eyes? The thoughts of man, the logic of man, the assessment of man, or the eyes of God, a holy, righteous God? You see, if you have the anger of man, you can never work the righteousness of God. You're a murderer in your heart, and God will accuse you and charge you of murder. You have lust in your eyes for a woman? God says you're an adulteress. You're accused of an adulteress. Jesus taught that. Are you busy with sitting down and eating and drinking and getting up and playing and just doing the activities of the world? Well, you're an idolater. Do you obey the voice of God, or do you still struggle with sin? Well, God would again accuse you of idolatry and divination, just as he did to King Saul when he didn't obey God. You see, in verse 8, he says, "Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you continue to steal and murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, offer sacrifices to Baal, walk after other gods that you have not known? Then you're going to come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered,' so that you can continue in these abominations or your sin?" No, that's not how it works. You see, you don't understand the grace of God. You need to go listen to the episode we did about the true grace of God, stand firm in it. That's not what the grace of God, it frees you from sin so that you can come and lift holy hands, so you can walk in righteousness. You can be holy as God is holy in all your behavior. In verse 11, God charges them, "Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares Yahweh." No, but he says, but now go to my place, which is in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people. We cannot be a people who continues with wickedness or sin. We have to be a people that God has cleansed and made holy. In verse 13, God says, and now, because you have done all these things, declares Yahweh, and I spoke to you. You see, God spoke to them, rising up early and speaking to you, but you did not hear. I called you, but you did not answer. So what does God say he's now going to do? In verse 15, he says, I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your brothers and all the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, he says, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up a cry of prayer for them. And do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. Now, he's telling this to Jeremiah. Why? Because the people continued in sin, and God sent his true servants, the prophets, led by his Spirit, time and time again to tell them that they must turn from their sin. They must turn from their sin. They must turn from their sin. But you know what people today tell people? I'm a sinner just like you. Well, that's a problem then. If you're still a sinner, when were you ever converted to the righteous man? When did you ever overcome sin? By the power of the Almighty God. The same power and fullness of deity that dwelt in Christ that was supposed to be dwelling in you, doing the same work. Those people are deceived themselves. God says, I'm done. Don't pray for these people. I'm no longer going to hear you. As you continue to look in Jeremiah in verse 20 says, therefore, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning offerings and sacrifices. No. What did God want? What has God always wanted? Verse 23. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you will walk in the way which I command you, that it might be well with you. Verse 24, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsel, and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, they went backwards and not forward. You see, this is how God sees us until we come with a new heart and a new spirit. We continue to desire God. We want to draw near to him. The problem is we continue to bring our sin because we don't understand. You cannot come and worship God until you come in humility and get a new heart. If you skip the process of getting a new heart, a new spirit, and you continue to go to church thinking that you're worshiping and serving and God's honoring your service, you blaspheme God. You insult him. Because you are not receiving and coming in humility to get the gift that he wants to give you. You make God a mockery. He says in verse 25, since that day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. Yet they did not listen to me. They did not incline their ear. They stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers. You shall speak all these words to them, but they aren't going to listen to you. You shall call to them, but they aren't going to answer you. You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of Yahweh their God or accept correction. See, this was a son that God wanted to bring into correction through the discipline. But they wouldn't heed. They wouldn't let God make their crooked ways straight. They wouldn't receive of the righteousness of God that comes by faith. They continued to want to do it their way. I'll serve God my way. I'll live a righteous life my way. God says, truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. I pray that you are not that person. In Jeremiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day which I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice, and do according to all that which I command you. So you shall be my people, and I will be your God, in order to confirm the oath that I swore to your forefathers. But the problem is they wouldn't listen. Verse 7, I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning them persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey. They did not incline their ear, but they walked, each one, in the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Therefore, I brought on them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do. But they did not do it. Then the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned their backs to the sins of their ancestors who refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant. So what does God say in verse 11? Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry to me, they're going to pray and cry out to God. He says, yet I will not listen to them. In verse 14, he says, therefore, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up a cry of prayer for them. I will not listen when they call to me because of their disaster. And so, again, we have to look at this and say, we cannot be this people. In verse 16, it says, Yahweh called your name a green olive tree, beautiful in fruit and form. But with the noise of a great tumult, God has kindled fire on it. Its branches are worthless. Yahweh of hosts, who planted you, has now pronounced evil against you because of your evil. Do we want to be that person? Are we going to humble ourselves? Are we going to come to the truth? If you don't, not only God's not going to listen to your prayers, he's not going to listen to other people praying for you. You cannot continue in stubbornness believing, and these are people who thought they had peace with God. This is speaking to the church of today. We cannot follow this same example of disobedience. Chapter 14, verse 7. Although our iniquities testify against us, O Yahweh, act for your name's sake. Truly, our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against you. So again, you see there in verse 7, the people are acknowledging their iniquities. They're acknowledging that they have sinned against God. They're appealing to God to act on behalf of God's name's sake. And this is people today. They'll say, oh, but I'm always going to sin. Oh, but that's why God has to act, because yes, I acknowledge my sin testifies against me. But that's not what God wants. In verse 9, it says, why are you like a man dismayed, like a mighty man who cannot save? Yet you are in our midst, O Yahweh. They're acknowledging, God, you are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. You see, the people consider themselves a people of God. They consider themselves a people that God is in their midst. You know what God says? Verse 10. Thus says Yahweh to this people, even so, they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore, Yahweh does not accept them. Now he will remember their sin and he will call their sins to account. Well, I thought God said he was going to pardon all their sins. Well, yeah, if they came in humility and repentance to get a new heart and a new spirit, which we find at the end of Jeremiah here, but these people wouldn't do it. So because they continued in their sin, God says, now I will remember it. God was willing to pardon. We must not be so foolish and to think that we can continue to live in sin. God's face will turn against you. Not only will he not answer your prayer, he'll judge you according to your sins and annihilate you. Verse 11, so Yahweh said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Verse 12, when they fast, because the people are going to fast, they believe in God, they're going to fast for God. He says, I'm not going to listen to their cry. When they offer offerings and grain offerings, I'm not going to accept them. Rather, I'm going to make an end of this people by sword, famine, and pestilence. But he says in verse 13, but Lord Yahweh, I said, look, the prophets, their leaders are telling them, you won't see sword. You won't see famine. No, but you're going to have lasting peace in this place because the people were telling them they had peace with God. Their leaders, they were liars. Verse 14, then Yahweh said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them. I have not commanded them, nor have I spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination and futility in the deception of their own mind. See, that's what God says about these people. That is what God says. You know what he says? Therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning these prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there will be no sword, there will be no famine in this land. By sword and famine, these prophets shall meet their end. That's what God says. Turning over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Starting in verse 11. Now, some people may like, oh, Jeremiah 29:11. I know that verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares Yahweh. Plans for good and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. You see, that's what God says. That's true. But there is a problem. You see, as you keep looking, it says, then you will call upon me and come to me to pray. And then I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The problem is they weren't coming in all their heart. But these people, it's already too late. We already heard that God says no longer pray for these people. God's referring to the people that come up after them, after he destroys all these rebellious people with a stubborn heart. You see, in verse 17, he says, thus says Yahweh of hosts, host, behold, I am sending upon this people the sword, famine, and pestilence. I will make them like split open figs that cannot be eaten due to rottenness. I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence. And I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, a whore, a hissing, a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. You see, this is God. God's going to pursue them. You can't no one can escape the pursuit of God. When he sets it out that he's going to destroy you, you're done. Where's the fear of God among the people today? No, everybody continues to trust in their own righteousness and the lies of the leaders that tell them they have peace and that they can never be free from sin and live a holy, godly life. They lie to people. These people are not friends of God. They're his enemies. In verse 19, still in Jeremiah 29, he says, because they have not listened to my words, declares Yahweh, which I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen, declares Yahweh. So therefore, he says, he goes on to say that he's going to kill them. He's going to exile them. And that's what he does. When you go and you look at Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11, he says, for I am with you, declares Yahweh, to save you. That's what God wants to do, to save them. But he says, I will destroy, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I scattered you. Only will I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten or discipline you justly, but by no means will I leave you unpunished. So the nations that he sends them to, the wicked nations that never trust in God, he says he'll completely destroy them and remove them from the earth. But Israel, he says, I'm going to destroy you, but I'm not going to destroy you completely. You see, he's going to chasten them, and in his chastening, he's going to destroy them, but not completely. He's going to take their lives, sword, famine, pestilence. And it's going to be a remnant left over that he's going to let them restart. And these are the things people don't listen to. They don't understand. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 28, God says, "It will come about that just as I have watched over you to pluck you up and to break you down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build up and to plant," declares Yahweh. See, God is going to build up and to plant. Well, why did he destroy? Why did he tear down? Because of sin? Well, what's he going to do to build them back up? What has to happen? Well, he tells us, in as you keep reading in verse 32 to 34, he says, in verse 31, he says he's going to make a new covenant. "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, because my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares Yahweh. Verse 33, "But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my law within them." God's not doing away with his law. He's going to put it in you. "On their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34, "They shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more." Well, this is the people that God writes on their heart, his law. The ones that get the new circumcised heart by the Spirit of God that we cover in the New Testament and in the New Heart episodes. And what does it mean to be crucified and baptized with Christ? And that episode, overcoming sin. You see, when God gives us and does his work on our heart and the new spirit and the new heart, those are the people that he will forgive their iniquity. But the other people, because they don't get the new heart and they continue in their iniquity and sin, God's going to remember their sin forever and destroy them. People are not hearing the true gospel message preached and proclaimed. In chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 23, it says, "They came in and took possession of it," referring to Israel. And coming out of Egypt, they took possession of the land. "But they did not obey your voice," referring to God's voice, "or walk in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this calamity come upon this people." Because they couldn't obey the voice of God. They didn't have the new heart and the new spirit. They could try, but they couldn't. You see, as you keep reading in Jeremiah chapter 32, in verse 32, it says, "Because of all the evil of the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their leaders, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned their back to me and not their face. Though I taught them, teaching them again and again, yet they would not listen and receive instruction." So in verse 37, he says, "Behold, I will gather them from all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger." And this is looking into the future. "And my wrath and in my great indignation." And so that's what God poured out on this people. But a people after them, a future people, he says, "I will bring them back to this place and I will make them dwell in safety." Verse 38, "They shall be my people and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me." And that's what God wants to do. So with that, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. And I pray that you'll reflect on these, some of the passages that we read today about why God doesn't answer prayers. There's a reason. And it ties in with a second episode that we did of ask and receive, but there's conditions. Many of the people that can't meet the conditions is because they're a slave of sin. They have never become free. They have not received the spirit and the new heart of God that God wants to give. Father, I come before you today and I pray that all those that are listening, Father, it's futile for us to seek you, but not in faith and in truth. It's hopeless to seek to be a people to please you, O God, if we have not had our sins cleansed from us, and we have not been given the new heart and the new spirit so we can abide in holiness and walk just as Christ walked, and be holy just as you are holy, and to walk in light just as you are light, with no dark speck. Father, there's only one way that can be done, but people must come in truth and humility and in faith, believing in the God who wants to do an impossible work, to write the law, your laws upon their heart, and give them your spirit, the same fullness of deity that Christ had that we covered in the New Testament passages. Father, I pray that people will humble themselves so that they can ask for what they really need to be asking for, which is the new heart and the new spirit. But turn from this world and turn to you and fix their eyes on Christ, so that you can do the impossible work, O God, so that when they raise their hands in prayer, you will say, "Here I am," and listen to them, and not turn and hide your face, but that your ears will be attentive to their prayer. Father, I thank you that you are a God of mercy and love, and that you are willing to change us into the new creation, so that we can escape the wrath and the indignation of you, O God, and receive of your kindness and your blessings, the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.